have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Come on, somebody, if you know you've been redeemed and the Son has set you free, you are open up your mouth and give him all the praise and all the glory and all the honor that's due his name.
Because you deserve it. For freedom, one more day to worship you. All I want is to see your face. Redemption is my song to sing.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Free to worship him. God bless. God bless my soul. Hallelujah. Welcome again to 4T His Glory. I am your host. I'm Brian Blessingame, Apostle Brian Blessingame. I'm here with the awesome producer Kimmy Kim. Thank God for being here. We thank God for allowing us to be here. We thank God for you being here. Praise the Lord. You know, last week I came on and I was a little, I may have been a little vexed, more so a little upset with how the enemy has just been baffling the people. Yeah, I'm going to say even some of the people of God, but our minds and how he's been going around doing his job, really. I mean, that's just what he's supposed to do, is confuse people and try to take them away from the things of God, the presence of God, and even God himself, to try to ruin the relationship between man and God. That's his job. But I'm still a little bent out of shape with some of the things that some people are actually believing. And the Lord has, you know, he's shown me before, and I see it even more so now when I talk to different people, the body of Christ. And we are leaders. We've got to. What I'm seeing more and more of is that we've got to go back to the basics. I'm seeing more and more of that. We're in a place and time and season where we're going to have to teach more than preach, because a lot of people have gotten caught up on the hype. You know, I mean, they've gotten caught up, and I know a lot of people have probably heard this, you know, where people say, you know, yeah, the show did preach good, show did sound good, and they say, well, what did he preach about? I don't know, but the show did sound good. A lot of times we've been getting caught up with the emotions and sounds, rather than the actual truth and rather the actual heart of the word, the meat of the word. In order to do so, God's just been dealing with me about certain different things, about taking people back to the basics, taking people back to the basics, going back to the basics. The Word of God never changes. He doesn't change. He stays the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But yet, there are different things that, because of this flesh, people have a tendency to want to live in the pleasures of sin and don't want to have the repercussions that come from sin. They want to operate in the flesh but don't like it when they receive the consequences of operating in the flesh. And the Bible tells us plainly that there's no good thing, any one good thing in the flesh. It also tells us that if we sow in the flesh, we're going to reap corruption. But there's a few scriptures that God had laid on my heart tonight, and we'll first find them, Matthew the 7th chapter and the 13th verse. But before we go there, I want to open up with the word of prayer. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord God, for each and every blessing that you bestowed upon us. Whether it be known or unknown, seen or unseen, heard or unheard. We thank you for the ones who are under the sound of my voice. We ask, Father God, in Jesus' name, that you open their hearts, that they'll receive. And we ask, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that you give me clarity of speech. Let everything be done in decency and in order. Touch and be with our awesome producer, Kimmy Kim, on this night and each and every other day. We thank you, Lord God, for making the rough places smooth and the crooked places straight in her life. And we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory for all that you're doing and all that you're yet to do and that which you have done. That you be glorified in the earth in Jesus' name, Yeshua's name, we do pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Opening up, because some people have really got stuff through, really got stuff messed up. What caught my attention is that I was having a conversation with someone, and they made the statement that, well, you know, God got this huge umbrella for everyone in there, and that everyone is under this protection. So basically what they were trying to say was that, you know, even if you're walking in darkness, even if you're into idolatry and different things like that, that, you know, God still got this big, heavy umbrella that's going to protect everyone. And I knew that they knew that that was a lie, because the one of the main reasons that they really want me or want to be connected is that they know that, and I'm not bragging, I'm not boasting, I boast only in the Lord, but they know that that I have a relationship with God and I can get a prayer through. There's been several different times that they came to me and we came together, we touched and greeted, and God moved on their behalf. But they still struggle with this and they want to struggle with that. And I'm not particularly saying any one particular person, but there's been several that I have run across throughout life that have a tendency to want to do that. They don't want to crucify the flesh, as we call it. But let's go to Matthew 7th chapter. And Matthew 17, no, I'm sorry. Matthew 7, and we'll start at the 13th verse. And these are the instructions by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And most Bibles, it should be, it'll probably be more than likely be written in red. These are the words of Jesus. He says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Then he says in the 14th verse, he says, "Straight, but because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now, I didn't know I was going to get into that, into the 15th verse, but he says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves." Let's go back to the 13th verse. He says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." There's but one straight gate. He identified himself. Jesus, Yeshua, identified himself as the way, the truth, and the light. He said, if any man comes to the Father any other way except through me, he is considered to be a robber and a thief. Listen to this. He says, "I am the way, the straight way." He is the straight way that leads to the Father. He said, "I am the light." The light. Listen, I'm going to get into this a little bit. There are societies, secret society, that you have to say certain things. Power, remember, the power of life and death are in the power of the tongue. So in order for you to join certain these secret societies, sometimes you have to confess, just like with salvation, you have to confess that you're becoming a part of their organization by coming to the light. So they call their organization the light. Okay? That's false. That's where your false prophets and prophets and all this other stuff. That's where it comes in at. That is false. They are not the light. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the light. No man can come unto the Father except by me." Straight and narrow. One way. He only designed one way for man to be reconciled unto God. There is but one mediator between the man and God, and that's the man, Jesus Christ. It is written. There's only one mediator between man and God, and that's the man, Jesus Christ. So backing up the scripture, he said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." It is straight. And then he said, "But now there is, for wide is the gate." There is another gate that is wide, and it is broad. And then it says, "It is the way that leads to destruction." It's broad, it's wide, and it is a way that leads to destruction, meaning there are very various different things that are being offered, various different things that are being displayed, various different concepts that are being exercised, but that way, because it is outside of the way that God has designed, that way leads to destruction. It may feel right. It may make you feel comfortable. It may make you feel shameless. You're in a group. You're in a place. You're in a people who feel that everything that is right is wrong, and everything that is wrong is right. The Bible tells us that the day will come that people will be that way, where they will call right wrong and wrong right. Listen, it's been happening for years. We just haven't necessarily paid any attention to it. Example, we see a nice car rolling down the road, and we've done it for years. We look at that nice car and we say, boy, that's a bad car right there. But what we really mean is that it's a nice car. It's a very luxurious, it's a very nice looking, it's a very sweet, it's a very something that we really would like to have. But instead of us saying that's a real nice car, a real good car, but that car right there, that ride is bad. So, you know, we've kind of like been caught up in a thing or in a trance where the Bible is just really making itself true. I mean, it's just unfolding itself. That there will be actually a time that people will call right good, will call right wrong, and call wrong good. But the scripture says for us to be aware of that, because this way leadeth, and many, it says many, there be which go in thereat. And then on the 14th verse, he says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Straight is the gate. Straight is the gate, and narrow, meaning you're not going to be able to go to and fro. You're not going to be able to go from your, it's straight and narrow. That gate is straight and narrow. You're not going to be able to dibble and dabble in a whole lot of different nonsense that doesn't relate to the relationship that you're going to have with God through his son, Jesus Christ. It's straight and narrow, but at the same time, he said, and there'll be few that find it. There'll be few that find it. Many are going to be deceived. And the many that's going to be deceived is because because of false doctrines, false teachers. But I honestly believe that a lot of them are going to, a lot of them are not going to find it because they're going to choose not to find it. And what I mean by that is that with God's mercy, he said he's not willing, he said he's long-suffering, he's not willing that any man should perish, but that all men come unto repentance. I believe that each and every soul will get a chance. I believe he deals with each and every person. But people choose to believe what it is they want to believe. There's some that know that the call of God is on their life. They will know that different things in their life is not working right because they've heard the call and neglected the call and chose not to receive the call. I had one person say, well, what is it? I mean, is he just gonna make me repent? Well, he may not make you repent, but he has ways of making life uncomfortable to the place to where you will cry out to him. He has that. He has that way. He has that ability. If I had really been thinking, I would have told them, ask Jonah when they asked that. Ask Jonah. Ask Jonah and see if you think God would make you do something. I mean, it really baffles me that God can give people certain gifts, certain talents, allow them to get up with good frame of mind, conduct their business, make mega bucks. And then God said, look, I need you to give your heart to me. And all of a sudden, they want to buck God. No, 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 no. And then they still expect, even though they're telling God no, they still expect the blessings of God to fall on them. And one of my views is, it may not be so much that he presses you in and forces you in it. I think he just kind of like back off. And as he backs off, you know the enemy, which is Satan, is trying to be like God, trying to imitate God. He's trying to take the place of God. But as God backs off and Satan try to move in, there's nothing good that Satan's going to bring with him. Now, why do Brian feel that way, or why do we think that way? Because the scripture says that God will not withhold any one good thing from those who walk upright. So if I'm walking upright with God and I'm in the presence of God, then there's not any one good thing that God is not going to withhold from me. I know we have our trials. I know we have our tribulations. But when things continuously are drying up and you're continuously shedding tears and you know you're not in the right place with God, hey, he's trying to get your attention. And more so than your attention, he's trying to get your heart. But the thing that really gets me is that If you're only looking at a fact, or if you're only thinking God is trying to force you to repent, you got to look at the whole picture. He's more than likely forcing you to repent because he sees something farther down the road than you do. And it may not be so much far away from you if he's beginning to force you. It may be quick. It may be sudden. It may be, you know, not that far away. And he's probably trying, and more than likely, he's probably trying to create a urgency for you to repent, because hell is real. Oh my God, did I go there? Yeah, I did. Hell is real. Hell is real. Hell is real. Hell is real. So you got God, who's giving instruction, who's trying to tell you not to go to this place called hell. And this instruction is telling you, you got to enter in it straight, the narrow gate. You can't be thinking, well, I can go in at straight gate and get involved with reading tea leaves too. Uh-oh. I can't go in at straight gate and get involved with palm reading too. I can't go in at straight gate and get involved with reading tarot cards too. I can't go into the straight gate and get caught up with burning candles and having these different seances and all this other stuff. I can't go in at straight gate. That's right. You can't go into the straight gate and get involved with all that other stuff. He said it's straight and it's narrow. Narrow. Straight. And narrow, straight and narrow. Why is that? Because here it is, Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and 24. It tells us, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now, no man can serve two masters. That's why I'm saying you go enter in at straight gate. If you want to make it all the way in heaven, you got to go in straight gate. It's not going to be, you know, the gate and then other choices too. He said you can't love one. He said because if you do that, you're going to love one and hate the other if you try to have two masters. Then he came all down and said that you cannot serve God and you can't serve mammon too, meaning you can't serve God and you can't serve money too. So that brings me to another place. There's a lot of people for the love of money who have made up in their heart, made up in their mind that money is their God. So for various different reasons, they will try other religions, other doctrines. To be honest with you, you got some what we call in the faith. Well, they may not even actually be in the faith. You have some that's called hirelings. They know the word, they preach the word, but they only in it for the money. They're not really trying to save any souls. They're not trying to see nobody get healed. They ain't trying to see nobody get delivered. They're only strictly in it for the money, honey. Sad to say, but it's true. He said, you cannot serve God and money. And it's a shame, but it's true. I'll share something with you. I caught myself because there's a very fine line in that sometimes. And myself, when God called me out off of my job to go into the ministry full time, I guess you would say that I had an area where I was lacking enough faith. In my situation, I didn't have a church. I didn't have any money coming in. I mean, he just, hey, it's time for you to come out. Let's go. And I did for a while, and then everything started really drying up. And the only natural thing that comes to the mind, and then you got other people that will tell you, go back and get a job. And I did just that, and the worst thing happened to me. Because I disobeyed God. It's lengthy, so I won't go into full detail, but when I did go back, the minute I signed my name on the contract, a heart murmur that God had healed me of back in, I want to say, 89 or 90, God healed me of a heart murmur. And that heart murmur came back the minute I signed this contract. And I left the place. I came home. And after a period of time, I kept seeking God. And after a period of time, God led me back to my rightful place. And God came back around and healed my heart. I have no more heart issues, no more heart problems, or no more nothing. I mean, totally, completely healed. But now, I'm not telling you guys to just rock off your jobs that God did it. You better know you heard God before you do some stupid stuff like that. But the thing about it is that I didn't realize that I had allowed money to take my focus off God that much. And it had actually become an idol to me. And it wasn't so much, I can't even really say that it was that much was money itself. It may have just been the job because the job wasn't rigorous. It wasn't hard. It just took up a lot of time. It started off 12 hours a week. It went from 4 days a week, and then it went 18 hours, 4 days a week, and next thing you know, 7 days a weekend. It just took up a lot of time, and I wasn't able to do the things of God like I should have been. I wasn't able to get in the Word like I should. Long story short, God pulled me off. Anyway, to God be the glory. I'm healed now. I'm delivered. I'm set free, and we're here before you today. I thank God for his mercy and his grace. But you cannot serve two masters. You will love one and hate the other. First Corinthians 10 and 21. It says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord, because of the Lord's table, and of the table of devils. 22 says, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Are we stronger than God? Do we provoke God to jealousy? The scripture does tell us that God is a jealous God. He tells us he is a jealous God. And I should have wrote down the other scripture that pertains to the Lord's Supper, because Paul warned us to examine ourselves before we partake in the Lord's Supper. He said, because a lot of us partake in it unfit, unworthy. A lot of us bring damnation on ourselves. We bring sickness on ourselves. Some of us cause ourselves to go into an early grave, according to scripture, and I paraphrased it. But also, when you're, and I'm a living witness to this, when you're upright with God, when you do the communion in remembrance of him as the body, healing can and will take place during the communion. I know it for a fact. I've experienced it for myself. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and of the cup of devils too. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. And then he said, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? In the 22, that same verse in the NET, it says, are we trying to provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we really stronger than he is? No, we're not. You don't want to provoke God's jealousy, because with God's jealousy comes his wrath. Like I said last week, his wrath, it is, and it awaits the children of disobedience. I mean, he is the only one particular person who has the right to really be jealous. I mean, there he is. He does everything for us, everything to us, kills us. We'd be amazed at the different things that go on with the human body, the different breakdowns and stuff that the human body goes through day by day. But yet, while you're sleeping, God comes in, he heals. He heals, he nourishes. I don't know if anybody's ever experienced this before, but have you ever had a certain pain in your body and seemed like it lingered a week, two, 3 weeks, maybe a month or so, and then all of a sudden you wake up and you go a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and you notice finally, you know what, that pain that I had, I don't have that pain no more. That pain is gone. Y'all can say what you want to say. God has stepped in and healed you of some stuff that you didn't even realize you got healed of, or you got delivered from. I know that sounds strange. I know that sounds far-fetched, but I can't help but believe it, because I've had him heal my body too many times. We can't afford to try to hold on to God and hold on to the world too. We can't. He is a jealous God. And it's like I said before, I don't know. There's like a lack of fear concerning God. It's like they don't realize or they don't believe. I know some right now that God is chasing them, and they don't want to believe that God is chasing them now. They don't want to believe that God is chasing them. They want to point the finger at flesh and say, well, if this person was doing right, if this person would help me, if this person would do this, and if that person would do this. Listen, there's a lot that if they were to help you right now, God would blow on that increase because you're not walking in the, you're not walking up right before God. That's what the scriptures say when he says you so much you reap, but yet you reap so little. God not blessing the increase because your relationship is not where it ought to be. Oh God, we just have to take self inventory, because to me that they have no fear from God. I really believe that they really feel like, you know, there is no hell also. Let's look at something in Isaiah 5 and 14. Oh. For hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. The Bible is talking about how hell enlarges herself. I don't know if it's actually, I can't remember if it's actually in the Bible. I'll be honest with you. But I do remember hearing the saying that hell enlarges herself daily. But if hell is enlarging itself, that means people are going to hell. It's like, you know, hey, you know, it's just like, it just keeps getting larger because people are not hearing. People are not obeying. People are choosing not to believe. You have a choice whether or not you want to adhere or forbear. You have a choice whether you want to believe God or whether you want to believe a lie. And the Bible says there's some whose conscience will be seared with a hot iron, and they'll believe a lie and be Daniel. There's a lot of people, like I said, that grew up, they heard the truth, they know the truth. But because it seems as though they want to be in a certain group, a certain clique, a certain fad, material wealth, a material gain, they want to hook up the nonsense. I know for a fact some of them have hooked up different things, And God came in and pulled the plug on it several different times, and they know God is dealing with them to repent, and they still want to try something else. Let me try this. Let me try something else. They have to remember, people. We have to remember that there was a time that God told Noah that it was going to rain, and he kept building that ark, and people kept, "Why are you building this ark? Why are you building this ark?" And I'm quite sure that's what happened. And Moses, and Noah kept telling them it's going to rain. They didn't believe it. They didn't hear it. And then when it rained, the Bible said God closed the door. Ryan, why are you saying it? Because there are some people God is trying to let them know that your time is running short. Your time is running out. And you want to try this, and you want to try that, and you want to try this, and you want to try that, but I'm about to close the door. And once God closed the door, no man can open. Because he says, I'll open doors that no man can open, and I'll shut doors that no man can open. And he'll open doors that no man can close. He's God. I'm going to leave you with this one little part here. It's found in Luke. We don't hear much of this story much in church anymore. But I felt necessary. People need to know. But it says here in the 19th verse, there was a rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate, full of sores, and designed to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus received evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, betwixt us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, five brothers, that they may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear him. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, even though one rose from the dead. Now, this talks about two different means. One went to heaven, paradise. The other one, he said, he lifted up his eyes in hell. He described it as a place of torment. He described it and said it was so hot, he just wanted someone to dip a thing of water and cool his parching tongue. I mean, he just wanted that much kind of a relief. And, you know, Jesus said it's a place where the fire is never quenched. And the worm dies not. So what good would that one little drop of water go do him? It's a place of torment. It's a place where you are not going to, you're not going to want to be there. Neither are you going to want anybody else you know to be there. I preached this a long time ago because I used to hear different people say stuff like, yeah, there's a party. They're going to party down in hell. They're going to have a party. We're going to party in hell. And God had me to come with this sermon that said, the party in hell has been canceled due to fire. There is no party in hell. Somebody need to hear this. There is no party in hell. It's a place of mourning. It's a place of weeping and mourning. It's a place where the fire is never quenched and the worm dieth not. Hell is no joke. I'm going here because I know that somewhere under the sound of my voice, somebody needs to make an intelligent decision. And don't matter how young you are, don't matter how old you are, it don't matter how many people you know. It don't matter the kind of money you have or you don't have. It's appointed to every man to die once that, and after that comes the judgment. That's scripture. That's the word. And we have to be careful because the Bible also tells us there is a way unto man which seems right, but at the end of that way is death. So choose you this day. Whom will you serve? Why would you want to try to worship a gem or a jewel? Why would you want to worship stars when you can worship him who created all that? Why shortchange yourself? Why be deceived? Why go after something that's going to fail you? He's the real deal. I know that we used to call Holyfield the real deal, but the champion of champions, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, Jesus, Yeshua, the Christ. He's all that and then some more. He is Lord of lords, King of kings, the Alpha and the Omega. He's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He's the beginning and the end. He's the God of all flesh. Besides him, there is no other. This is how you get on a winning team. You receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And you repent. You acknowledge your faults. You acknowledge your shortcomings. It's just like they say, the crackhead can't get delivered until he confesses that he's a crackhead. He can't get delivered until he realizes he got a problem. Some of us have a problem. Some of us not crackheads, but some of us still sin sick. You're out there right now and you want to give your heart to the Lord. Father, I come to you. Just repeat after me. Father, I come to you as a sinner. I know that Jesus came and he died on the cross for my sins. I know that on the third day you raised him from the dead with all power in his hands. I confess this with my mouth. I believe it in my heart according to your word. If I confess it in my mouth, and I believe it in my heart, I shall be saved. Now, Father, save me just as I am. Make me a new creature in Christ Jesus. I renounce Satan because I heard the man of God say, no man can serve two masters. I want to walk with you, Lord, and I want you to walk with me. Make me a new creature in Christ. Give me hope. Fill me with your precious Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives forth the utterance. And I praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name, we pray. We give you praise for it. Amen and amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer, you can reach me on Facebook. You can reach me on Instagram. You can reach me on Snapchat. Brian Blassingame. If you need prayer, you have someone who needs prayer, who needs to be saved, who needs to be delivered, who needs to be healed, who needs to be set free. Brian Blassingame on Facebook, Instagram, you can also reach me on Snapchat. Thank God for the opportunity to bring forth this word. I pray that it finds itself on some resting, where it can rest on some hearts and make a change and make a difference. I pray that it brings forth fruit and that the fruit remain. I decree that it brings forth fruit and that the fruit remain. And for you fathers out there, we thank God for you. We praise God for you. We thank you for being the fathers that you are. We thank you for some of the fathers who may not have been able to be what they wanted to be, but yet you're still trying. We thank God for you. But we want to pray for those fathers who don't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. We pray right now in Jesus' name that you connect with the Father of all fathers. He'll help you be. He will make you be the father that you desire to be. We give God praise, we give God honor, we give God glory for who he is and for what he's doing. And remember, as we leave you, we dare not leave God's presence, but we ask that whatever you do it in decency and you do it in order. And we pray that you do it for his glory. In Jesus' name, we're out. We thank God for you. Thank you guys for listening. Until next week, or until we get caught up, whichever comes first, we give God praise for you. We love you. God bless. Amen.
Living life on the edge of expectation. Ever since my life took on a new direction, I've been living life contrary to condemnation. Because God, you had mercy on me. You revealed your son in me. Opened my eyes and now I see. To live my life more abundantly. I'm walking by faith and not by sight, in your power and not my own might. And I live to die so you can increase and I decrease. You're wonderful. Yes, you are. Tremendous. Yes, you are. Exceptional. Yes, you are. And I see, but I see. I'm living.